Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the first epistle general of Peter and the first chapter. I'm going to read some verses here, just a couple of verses, and then we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read a verse there, and then to 1 John chapter 1. So we'll do a little Bible following tonight. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 18, it says this, "For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Then Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And then if you turn to 1 John, and in the chapter 1, 1 John, that's after Peter's epistles, so we come to John. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer with our Bibles open in our gathering this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bring it to hearts tonight with power. Pray that our God, we might know a deep sense of your presence as we open the scriptures and meditate and study upon it. We pray tonight, Lord, that our hearts may be stirred, and Lord, that our hearts may be touched as we think of the great sacrifice of the cross. And we pray tonight, Lord, that thou wilt lead us to the cross. Think of the words of the hymn writer, "Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain." O God, we pray that thou wilt bring us to the cross. Now help us, our God, as we bring thy precious word. Give us a deep sense of your presence. In Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. No matter how many times you preach about the cross, it never loses its magnetism. It never loses its majesty. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Hymn writer said, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, just a sinner condemned and unclean." And I want us to think tonight upon what Jesus Christ shed there at the cross, the shedding of his precious and his atoning blood. Do you know, whenever you come to the scriptures of holy truth, whether you start in the book of Genesis or go to the book of the Revelation, you'll find that there is a theme that's running through the whole of the Bible, and it is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have indeed the pointing forth to the shedding of his precious blood. You remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God provided them coats, and God gives them coats of skin for a covering, and there was the shedding of the blood, or that was the shedding of the blood for the covering of Adam's garments that God gave unto him. Thank God there is the covering of the precious blood, because the book of Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, indeed, without, or chapter 9 verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, friend. And in the book of Matthew's Gospel, there's the familiar story of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at that passage of God's Word there in chapter 27, the book of Matthew's Gospel, you'll find that the blood of Christ is upon the minds of many of the people that are gathered there. The blood of Christ. For example, we find that Judas Iscariot, he returns with the 30 pieces of silver. Look at verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. There we find indeed that on the mind of Judas Iscariot, even as he threw the 30 pieces of silver down, he was thinking about the blood of Christ. He said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Judas Iscariot indeed regretted what he had done. You know, when he took the 30 pieces of silver, it had promised to give him satisfaction. It had promised to give him joy. But friend, it brought him guilt to his soul. And he threw the money down as he thought about it, and he looked upon the 30 pieces of silver, and he cried out, he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. The blood of Christ was upon the heart and upon the mind of Judas Iscariot. Then you'll notice not only was it upon the mind and heart of Judas Iscariot, look down there in verse number 6, it says, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put it into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And so we find that the chief priests, on the minds of them, before Christ indeed went to the cross, they were thinking about the blood of Christ. They said, it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and they bought with it the potter's field to bury strangers in. And so we find that indeed the chief priests were thinking upon the blood. And then we find not only were they thinking about the blood, go to verse number 24. And it tells us there, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And there we find in Judas Iscariot's heart and mind, there was the guilt of the blood. On the chief priest's mind and heart, there was the blood, because they knew it was the price of blood. And they were guilty, and they felt the guilt of it, and they would not put it into the treasury. And then we find that indeed Pilate, he says, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. So once again, in the mind of Judas or of Pilate, there was the blood of Christ. Then you look again in verse number 25. It says, then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And so we find that the people, yes, those that were gathered there that day, they cried out. Their mind was on the blood. And they said, His blood be on us and on our children. You know, I was thinking about that again, friend. I was thinking about men and women in this service that are not saved, and if they die in sin and go to hell, let me tell you, for all eternity, on your mind will be the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus will be upon your mind. You remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, what Abram said to the rich man in hell. He said, Son, remember. His memory. He said, Son, remember. Friend, you remember the messages that you heard preached on the precious blood of Christ. And I want to tell you, if you die in your sin, God forbid it. But if you die in your sin and are lost in hell forever, I'll tell you, the blood will be on your mind. There down in hell, the blood's on Judas Iscariot's mind. He'll never forget the price he took. The 30 pieces of silver, it was the price of blood. The chief priests down there in hell, friend, let me tell you this, they'll remember as they received the 30 pieces again. And then they realized this was the price of blood. So therefore they bought a potter's field. You know, a potter's field was a field that was useless, because the potter, in the making of the pottery, they stripped the ground off the clay. Therefore it wasn't fertile anymore. It was a useless piece of ground. And that's what they bought. They bought a potter's field to bury strangers in. But down in hell, the chief priests will remember the blood. And down in hell, Pilate is Pilate will remember the blood. Because the Bible tells us, yes, he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. He said, see ye to it. But then the Bible says, after he had scourged Jesus, they tied the Lord Jesus Christ to the whipping post. And they lashed his back and down his back. There was ploughed, as it were, a furrowed field, and the precious blood ran down. And yet a few moments before that, Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood. You see, Judas Iscariot knew he wasn't innocent, but he knew the blood of Christ was the innocent blood. But you see, Pilate, he thought that all he had to do was wash his hands, and he said, listen, he says, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. But down in hell, friend, Pilate will remember the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from his hands and feet. For after he had scourged Jesus, the Bible says, he, Pilate, delivered him to be crucified. But down in hell, the people will remember. They cried out, his blood be upon us. But they went further. They said, his blood be on us and on our children. What an awful thing for a father to bring such judgment upon his offspring. And they took the guilt of the blood of Christ. The guilt of his blood be on us. And friend, they were happy to say it. How hard is the heart of man. How hard is man's soul when he mockingly says, his blood be on us. And then they say, aye, and on the heads of our children. What a tragedy. But let me go further. What about you in this service tonight that have heard the gospel over and over again? What about you in this service that have heard about the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed, that men and women, guilty, lost, vile sinners can be saved? And yet you trample under your foot the precious blood as if it didn't count. Sunday after Sunday you hear the word. But Sunday after Sunday you walk away unmoved, unconverted, unsaved. And I suggest to you tonight, God forbid, but I suggest to you, if you die without Jesus, friend, you'll remember the blood. You'll remember the blood. Because like those people in Jesus' day, his blood be upon your guilty soul. You see, the blood of Christ was upon their minds, but there's something I want you to remember. The blood of Christ was not upon their guilty soul to save them. The blood of Christ was not upon their hearts to cleanse them. What about you tonight? Is the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, is it only something that's upon your mind? Or tell me, do you know what it is to come to the precious blood for cleansing, for pardon, and for peace? When I search the scriptures tonight, I want to tell you this, I see the priority of the blood. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The word redeemed means to buy back, to set free by the paying of a price, by the paying of a ransom.
But friend, what do we need to be redeemed from? We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. We need to be redeemed and set free from our sin. See, God's word reminds us afresh that we are sinners. All have sinned. I think of the people over there in Scotland. Let me tell you, imagine a soul to say, at 60 years of age or more, to say, I've heard more gospel in this one meeting I've ever heard in my life. Friend, you can't say that. You see, the Bible says you're without excuse. What will you say to God when you stand before God and you give account of yourself at the great throne of God's judgment and you die in your sin and you're lost in your sin and where Christ is, you'll never be, and yet you've heard the gospel over and over and over again? And you won't take your place as a sinner. You won't confess your sin. You won't acknowledge your sin. You're not broken over your sin. Oh, you have broken the law of God. And by breaking the law of God, friend, you stand condemned. And because you stand condemned, having broken the law of God, you are under the curse of the law. You're under the judgment of God. And if you were to walk up those stairs tonight and lay your head on the pillow and God to take you out into God's eternity, you'll be under the curse forever of the broken law. Cursed because of your sin for all eternity. But thank God it says in the book of God, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God tonight for the blood of Christ. You know, whenever I think about that, turn to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. And in the 10th chapter of, or rather the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, look at verse number 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, there's the priority of the blood, my friend. Notice what it says. It tells us here that Christ entered into the holy place. What does that mean? It means he entered into heaven, the holy place. And you know what he presented? He presented his own blood. And through the precious blood of Christ, friend, I want to tell you this, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And he presents his own blood as a full demonstration that his once for all sacrifice for sin, thank God, fully expiated the sins of his people. His own blood. His own blood. Oh, think of it. What unspeakable love that God had for you and me to give his darling son, send him to the cross of Calvary and there to shed his own blood. Thank God, friend. He shed his blood for us. That's my only hope. Thank God, that's my only plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And that Jesus died for me. When I think about that verse, it says this, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered into heaven, having obtained. Thank God, when Jesus Christ entered heaven, thank God he had already obtained an eternal redemption for me. Thank God it was not something he was buying. Listen, he obtained, he had paid the price of my redemption. He obtained, notice what it says. Read the verse again, friend. Having obtained, there on the cross of Calvary, there's the sufficiency of the blood of Christ. There's the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's not the blood of Christ plus religion. It's not the blood of Christ plus baptism. It's not the blood of Christ plus churchianity. It's not the blood of Christ plus anything. With his own blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. With his own blood, it said, having obtained, thank God there at the cross, all that was needed for the salvation of my soul was completely finished at the cross. That's why he said, it's finished. He obtained. Now look at the next word. Eternal redemption. That's what he did at the cross. I'm not going to heaven, friend, because of anything I do. I'm not glorying in anything that I have ever done or will ever do. I'm not going to make it through the pearly gates because of something that I have done in this old world. Thank God I'll make it through the pearly gates because of what Jesus did for me. Upon the cross, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm not preaching a half-hearted gospel tonight. I'm preaching the full-orbed gospel. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he finished the work. He didn't do half the job and leave the rest to me. The Lord Jesus didn't make a down payment and expect me to pay the rest of it for the rest of my life. Not at all, friend. Jesus Christ made the full payment at the cross. And that's what he offers to sinners, an eternal redemption. That's what he offers to you tonight, an eternal salvation. And that's why he says in John chapter 10 and verse 28, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. These folks that tell you, my friend, what is it? Johnny Mara, full of sorrow, saved today and lost tomorrow. I want to tell you, my friend, that's not the salvation that God provided and that the Savior purchased on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Listen to this. But the blood of Jesus washed me white as snow. There's the priority of the blood. Oh, what a tragedy. I hear so-called evangelical preachers standing in the pulpit, friend, and you nearly think they'd be scared to mention the blood of Jesus. There's something wrong. And they're not preaching the gospel. Because there's no blood. If it's a bloodless message, friend, I want to tell you, it's not the gospel of redeeming grace. He purchased us with his own blood at the cross of Calvary. I'll never forget old Pastor Paisley. In his latter days, and I was a young lad and I was received into the ministry, and I was down there in Ballymena, and they brought me up into the pulpit, and Dr. Paisley introduced me to his father and said, here's one of the young lads that's coming into the college. Here's one of our young students. And the old pastor looked at me and he said to me, son, I want to give you some advice. When you enter into the pulpit, make much of the blood. Make much of the blood. And I want to tell you, my friend, that book tells me of the priority of the blood of Jesus. For you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And that brings me to the second thought. the preciousness of the blood. It's interesting how the Holy Ghost put it. He said, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things. And then he says something. What's the corruptible things, then? Wood? Or crumbling bricks? You know what he mentions? Two precious things to man. Two precious metals. And you know, man thinks that, you know, when it's made of silver, it's strong, or if it's made of gold, it's not perishable. You know what Jesus said? He says, you're not redeemed. I didn't buy you back from the slave house of sin with corruptible things of silver and gold. But let me tell you, there'll come a day when the value of silver and gold, friend, not be worth that. Not mean that. You see, to us tonight, silver and gold's valuable. And people are craving. You know, they say today, listen, if you want to invest, the best thing to invest in, and they used to say it was property, and then the whole thing come tumbling down. They realized that one day they had something that was worth maybe $100,000, and the next day it was worth maybe $50,000, maybe $20,000. But they say, no, no, it wasn't to invest in property. The best thing, solid thing to invest in, and this is what they're saying today, even to this very day, the best thing's to invest in gold. That's the best investment you can make. I want to tell you this, my friend. That's not the best investment. The investment that was made at Calvary was the best investment. And it was redemption for sinners like you and me, lost, hell deserving, sinners in the way to a lost eternity. And there was no way back for us. And there was no way out for us. And money couldn't buy us out. And silver couldn't help us to get out of the trap of our sin. But thank God Jesus invested his own blood. Through the blood of Christ, and through the death of Christ, and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, friend, sealing it with his own blood, he obtained for me an eternal redemption. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. Let me ask you, do you love him? You love the Savior tonight? Does it talk about Christ? Does it witness in your soul? My Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved you, my Lord Jesus, I love you. Now, friend, let me tell you, the blood of bulls and goats of the Old Testament, and a fowl in the Old Testament, listen, all of those sacrifices, the Word of God says they could never take away sin. The high priest would go into the holy place, but he had to go back year after year. Why? Because that spoke of the imperfection of his offering. We're not bought with the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at it, verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Never. take away sins? Is there no hope? Is there no answer? Is there no hope of salvation for my soul, preacher? Never take away sins. I'll read the next verse. But this man, who is he? Jesus Christ. How do I know? He's mentioned there in verse 10. Jesus Christ, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You study the temple, you study the tabernacle. And as you study them, friend, you'll notice that there are many pieces of furniture there. But there's something that's not there. There's no seat. The priest never sat down there. You walk into the holy place. You see the furniture there in the holy place. But there's no seat for him to sit on. You walk into the holiest of holies. And as the high priest walks in there, once a year, friend, but there's no seat for him to sit on. But thank God, this man, the Lord Jesus, the great high priest, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, after he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, the word of God, he says he sat down on the right hand of God. Why? Because the work was finished. He sat down, for the work was done. I see the farmer. I see the workman. And they come home after a day's work, and there's nothing they look more just to sit down. A day's work done. But you see, the priests and the high priests of the Old Testament, friend, let me tell you, they continually had to make their sacrifices. And the high priest once a year had got to go in to the holy and holiest of all, pointing to the imperfections of their offering. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever. Thank God, it is enough. There's the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus. There's the sufficiency of the precious blood of Jesus. And I love the way the Holy Ghost put it. He says, you're not redeemed with the corruptible things that you think are precious, silver and gold. You're redeemed with the precious blood. Ah, the Holy Ghost didn't say the silver and gold was precious. The Holy Ghost said it was the precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus. This man, look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Thank God we can come boldly to the throne of grace tonight. What way? By the blood of Jesus. Turn back to chapter 9 very quickly. Look at verse number 11. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Go to chapter 7, and in verse number 27, it says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up What's the next word? Himself. He offered up himself. Oh, Lord Jesus, with all my heart, I just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for doing that for me. You offered up yourself. Let me tell you, friend, he wasn't forced to die. He said, I lay down my life of myself. He says, I have the power to lay it down. He says, I have the power to take it again. The preciousness of the blood. But very quickly tonight, the power of the blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship the one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's not the blood plus sacraments. It's not the blood plus the church membership. It's not the blood plus good works. Let me tell you, the Pharisees tried their works. And Judas Iscariot tried his weeping. But thank God, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you realize tonight that your soul is stained, sinner, by sin? Do you realize tonight this is an awful stain that the waters of baptism will never be able to wash out and all the detergents of the world will never be able to take it out? It is a stain that stands against you. And as God looks upon your heart, he sees a guilty, stainful soul. The awful stain of sin. And you try to get it taken away, friend, because you feel guilty. And you try it in your own efforts, just like Adam and Eve, as they make their garments and they try to sew the fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. Man still trying to hide his nakedness from God. But thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ah, there's power in the blood. You know, in Oxfordshire village, there's an old saint of God lay dying. For over 80 years, she had been a pilgrim on the way to glory. And you know, as she was coming near the end, there was a glow of heaven upon her face and countenance as she came close to the glory gate. There was an old Anglo-Catholic priest. He called a visitor in her closing days and he says, Madam, he says, I've come to grant you absolution. In the simplicity of her heart, she says, Sir, what's that? He says, I've come to forgive your sins, was his reply. And the old saint of God says, Would you let me see your hand? And he looked at her. She says, Let me see your hands, mister. And he reached out his hand and she looked him in the face and she says, Mister, you're an imposter. Because the one who died to forgive my sins, there's nail prints in his hands. His name is Jesus. And here you are in this meeting tonight, and I want to tell you, if you're trusting in anything else, if you're trusting in anyone else, I was just thinking of wee Mrs. Porter. And it's years since she'd been able to get to God's house here, but I'll tell you this, she loved this preacher. And her brother Philip knew this. If you said anything about the minister of this church, you better take to your heels and run for the hills because she'd have cleaned you. You could have said anything about anybody else, but don't you say one word. Let me tell you, friend. But this preacher couldn't save her. But Jesus could. And thank God 2 years ago, at the age of 85, she called on Jesus to save her soul. She's in heaven tonight with Christ. What are you trusting in tonight? Your church membership? Your loyalty to this congregation? Your loyalty to this preacher? Let me tell you, friend, I say honestly before God, you'll never make it to heaven. Nothing but the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And praise God, I can sing it. I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. You said, I've heard this before, preacher. I want to tell you, and you'll hear it again and again and again. For we'll preach the blood of Jesus, the answer for man's sin. I want to tell you, I said water couldn't get your stain out, but praise God, the blood of Jesus can. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, it says this, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. All under the blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest every man and woman that's sitting in this meeting tonight. Thou knowest they're standing before thee, those who are listening in across the airwaves. Thou knowest their relationship with Christ. There are those that are saved and those that are not saved. There are those that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God one day they'll be with him. But there are those that are without Christ. And if they die as they are, they'll be in hell forever. Oh, my God. Oh, God, save them, I pray. Please save them. People that love the house of God in this hell and they're not saved. People that love this house and the preacher that stands in the pulpit and yet they know not Jesus. The preacher's preached about for 40 years. Oh, God. Oh, God, bring them to Jesus. Save them tonight. Let them not walk away another night without Christ. Bring them to Jesus. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. The meeting will be open in a moment. Let me give you a simple opportunity. Will you come to Christ? Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come tonight? Beg you in God's name, come to Christ. Please don't miss God's salvation. Don't miss God's salvation above anything in all the world. Don't miss God's salvation. O Lamb of God, I come. If there's one tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying, singing this little verse prayerfully. Dear unsaved person, slip that hand above your head as we sing. Indicate that desire. Backslider, do likewise. Make this the night of your restoration. Sinner, make it the night of your salvation. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's sing the wee verse of invitation. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one tonight in this meeting You come to Christ. I beg you in God's name. Come to Jesus Christ. If there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl, you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus. Would you lift that hand right now above your head, friend, young or old? Just lift that hand toward heaven. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. O God, tonight, give the saving grace. Don't let men and women walk away without you, but give them grace to come to you and trust you as Savior and Lord. For those who are listening in tonight across the world, dear anxious soul, I beg you in God's name, why don't you give us a call? 028-796-31456. We'll gladly point you to the Savior. May God give you grace to come. Sever us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, O God. Put upon us thy favor, for Jesus' sake.